It's good to welcome each of you this evening in the house of the Lord as we come together in a period of time of worship, but also to hear the spoken word. And for those that are on Zoom, that those up front this morning or this evening with me, is Bob Emmer will give the opening prayer this evening. And our speaker tonight is Eric Arnold. And we're just delighted to have him as our speaker, and we know that he's made great preparation for this evening. And so we ask that your prayerful attention, and also I am the presider. My name is John Eichhorn, and we just want to welcome everyone this evening as we share in this opportunity to worship. This evening, that I'd like to use for our call to worship comes out of the Doctrine and Covenants, and I'm using section 95, and I'm going to use 3A and B as our word of worship this evening, and then we'll follow this with singing hymn number 306 in our hymnal. Those words that I share with you are these. And I'm looking at 3a and 3b. And I give unto you a commandment, that ye shall forsake all evil, and cleave unto all good, that ye shall live by every word which proceedeth forth out of the mouth of God. For he will give unto the faithful line upon line, precept upon precept. And I will try you, and prove you herewith, and whosoever layeth down his life for my cause, for my name's sake, shall find it again, even life eternal. And I thought the word was interesting that he says, lay down his life for my cause. And we know the cause of is great, and the cause of Zion, and the cause of spreading the gospel. So shall we continue in our service this evening, and we will sing hymn number 306, and we'll stand for this hymn. Shall we stand?
Father, we come to thee this evening, nearing the end of the day, thanking thee for the blessings of the day, especially those that we received while being here in thy house this morning, looking forward to further blessings this evening. We pray, Father, for the presence of thy Holy Spirit. May it enhance the efforts of our servants before thee now, And that thy will may be done here today in thy house, to thy name's glory. This we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good evening. The scripture reading will be chapter 3 of the book of James, the whole thing. My brethren, strive not for the mastery, knowing that in so doing we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain bring sin forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain bring both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
We'll continue our service with our hymn number 169, and we'll be seated for this hymn, and then we'll hear our brother Eric as he shares in the spoken word.
Thank you.
Our pastor stood up this morning and noted that I get to the point. And that's not an effort to minimize my, it's not a strategy to minimize my effort. It's setting tight boundaries on what I attempt to do, because if I try to stray aside those boundaries, outside those boundaries, I'll start rambling incoherently and not get a message conveyed. And since I think people should know their limitations, that's a limitation I've observed and accepted. And as my experience in the work accumulates, I will have more to say, probably in the manner that most people are used to conveying it. Not that I'm worried about it. I'm going to let, for reasons that I just stated, I made the decision to let the scriptures do most of the talking tonight. I'm going to be looking at the events of chapter 3 of the book of Helaman. I've been following a course of reading. This little booklet is available back in the library. This old booklet about read the three standard books in a year. And I've read the books, but I wanted to, do it again in a systematic kind of way that would let me go through the bulk of it, but also let me read different sections simultaneously to get a cross-pollination of ideas from the Spirit going from whatever I was reading at the time. And some interesting coincidences have resulted from that, not coincidences. And as everyone knows, when you're in the Word repeatedly, you find things that you forgot were there, or did not remember were there, did not know were there, even though you've read them. And it's a surprise to you even when you come across it. The book of Helaman is relating, at least at the beginning, the downfall, another downfall of the Nephites, the latest downfall of the Nephites. The Gadiantans have been revived, owing to the wickedness of the people. When the people are wicked, the kind of people who organize their wickedness, see an opportunity. And that's what the Gadiantans are about, organized crime. And we blame the criminals and those who protect and coddle the criminals for their own benefit. Because it's easy to blame people when you see their actions. But who is at the root of of everything that we call evil. I'm going to pick up in chapter 2 with verse 156. Who is behind it all? And behold, it is he who is the author of all sin. And behold, he doth carry on his works of darkness and secret murder, and doth hand down their plots, and their oaths, and their covenants, and their plans of awful wickedness from generation to generation, according as he can get hold upon the hearts of the children of men. And now behold, he had got great hold upon the hearts of the Nephites, yea, insomuch that they had become exceeding wicked. Yea, the more part of them had turned out of the way of righteousness, and did trample under their feet the commandments of God, and did turn unto their own ways, and did build up unto themselves idols of their gold and their silver. And it came to pass that all these iniquities did come unto them in the space of not many years, insomuch that a more part of it had come unto them in the 67th year of the reign of Judges over the people of Nephi. And they did grow in their iniquities in the 68th year also, to the great sorrow and lamentation of the righteous. And thus we see that the Nephites did begin to dwindle in unbelief and grow in wickedness and abominations, while the Lamanites began to grow exceedingly in the knowledge of their God. Yea, they did begin to keep his statutes and commandments, and to walk in truth and uprightness before him. And thus we see that the Spirit of the Lord began to withdraw from the Nephites because of the wickedness and the hardness of their hearts. And thus we see that the Lord began to pour out his Spirit upon the Lamanites because of their easiness and willingness to believe his word. And it came to pass that the Lamanites did hunt the band of robbers of Gadianton, and they did preach the word of God among the more wicked part of them, insomuch that this band of robbers was utterly destroyed from among the Lamanites. And it came to pass, on the other hand, that the Nephites did build them up and support them, beginning at the more wicked part of them, until they had overspread all the land of the Nephites, and had seduced the more part of the righteous, until they had come down to believe in their works and partake of their spoils and to join with them in their secret murders and combinations. And thus did they obtain the sole management of the government, insomuch that they did trample under their feet and smite and rend and turn their backs upon the poor and the meek and the humble followers of God. That's the backdrop. Against which Nephi, the son of Helaman, returned from his traveling and prophesying and preaching among his people in the land northward from the city of Zarahemla. His words were rejected, and he went home. Picking up in verse 3 of chapter 3. And seeing the people in a state of such awful wickedness, and those Gadianton robbers filling the judgment seats, having usurped the power and authority of the land, laying aside the commandments of God, and not in the least aright before him, doing no justice unto the children of men, condemning the righteous because of their righteousness, letting the guilty and the wicked go unpunished because of their money. And moreover, to be held in office at the head of the government, to rule and do according to their wills, that they might get gain and glory of the world. And moreover, that they might the more easy commit adultery and steal and kill and do according to their own wills. Now this great iniquity had come upon the Nephites in the space of not many years. And when Nephi saw it, his heart was swollen with sorrow within his breast. And what follows for the next many verses is what I would call the lamentation and the exhortation of Nephi. He went into a tower in his garden. The garden was by a gate which led to the highway. And I suppose that he was outside shouting and speaking to the heavens in the frustration of his soul because he collected a crowd that marveled at his consternation. Verse 18. O repent ye, repent ye. Why will ye die? Turn ye unto the Lord your God. Why has he forsaken you? It is because you have hardened your hearts. Yea, ye will not hearken unto the voice of the good shepherd. Yea, ye have provoked him to anger against you. To verse 24. For if ye will not repent, behold this great city, and also all those great cities which are round about, which are in the land of our possession, shall be taken away, that ye shall have no place in them. For behold, the Lord will not grant unto you strength, as he has hitherto done, to withstand against your enemies. For behold, thus saith the Lord, I will not show unto the wicked of my strength, to one more than the other, save it be unto those who repent of their sins and hearken unto my words. Now therefore I would that ye should obey, ye should behold, my brethren, that it shall be better for the Lamanites than for you, except ye shall repent. For behold, they are more righteous than you. For they have not sinned against that great knowledge which ye have received. Therefore the Lord will be merciful unto them. Yea, he will lengthen out their days and increase their seed, even when thou shalt be utterly destroyed, except thou shalt repent. Down to verse 30. And except ye repent, ye shall perish. Yea, even your lands shall be taken from you, and ye shall be destroyed from off the face of the earth. Behold, now I do not say that these things shall be of myself, because it is not of myself that I know these things. But behold, I know that these things are true, because the Lord God has made them known unto me. Therefore I testify that they shall be. Those were hard words to speak against a people who, while believing that they were the inheritors of a legacy that had been promised to them in perpetuity, as long as they should last. This could only have been a lie that they told themselves in their own minds to cover for their iniquities. Because who doesn't like comfort? Who doesn't like gain? And if gain becomes your object, eventually it doesn't matter how you get it. Thank you. That was inevitable. I was too prideful to admit it. Not only had he attracted a crowd, he had attracted negative attention. The people who benefit most from these things will of course not want to be brought to the light, and since the wicked flee where no man pursues, but can't be seen, I want to say that a different way. The wicked flee where no man pursues. And if there is someone that they themselves wish to pursue for their own reasons, but cannot be seen to be doing that, they have to convince the people that a crime has been committed, some offense has been given, which they should be brought to answer for and get them to do their task for them, lest they get their own hands dirty with an unrighteous act. The judges who were listening to him remonstrate with them and rebuke them. Tried to get the assembled crowd to seize him and bring him to justice without having to do it themselves. But not so many people took heed to the judges as they might have liked, and Nephi had already persuaded a good number of them to listen to what he further had to say. And the burden of what he said were the evidences of their wrongdoing, the testimony of the righteous that had gone before them of the wickedness of their acts, of the same kinds of acts, and the assurance that the judgment that would fall upon them was the same that God had visited upon the wicked in the past. And then he said, well, and if all that is not enough, listen to me when I say this. I'll show you a sign of the times that you're living in. I'm going to pick up on verse 62. Yea, even ye have received all things, both things in heaven and all things which are in the earth, as a witness that they are true. But behold, ye have rejected the truth and rebelled against your holy God. And even at this time, instead of laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where nothing doth corrupt, and where nothing can come in which is unclean, ye are heaping up for yourselves wrath against the day of judgment. Yea, even at this time ye are ripening, because of your murders and your fornication and wickedness, for everlasting destruction. Yea, and except ye repent, it will come unto you soon. Yea, behold, it is now even at your doors. Yea, go ye unto the judgment seat and search. And behold, your judge is murdered, and he lieth in his blood, and he hath been murdered by his brother who seeketh to sit in the judgment seat. And behold, they both belong to your secret band, whose author is Gaddy Anton, and the evil one, who seeketh to destroy the souls of men. Five men went to look, saying among themselves as they went, "This man has said many hard things against us, but who knows if they shall come to pass, or if he has spoken truly. But he's pinned himself down with the murder of this judge, and we will either catch him out as a liar or confirm him as a prophet." So the five went. There's a convoluted back and forth in the playing out of the events that came next. The five went to verify the crime. The servants of the murdered judge had already found his body and gone out to alert others. When the servants of the judge returned, the five were found prostrate on the floor in amazement at the truth of the words of Nephi. The five were arrested as the murderers, detained. The judges who had been critical of Nephi at the garden learned of this and decided, of course, to pin it on Nephi, or at least accuse him of being confederate with the murderer. Nephi was brought before them and said that he would go one better. "Go see this man, go see such and such, and ask him what he knows about this. See what he says." Verse 104. Nephi speaking of what they should say, prophesying what he would say in reply to their questions. "And then shall he say unto you that I, Nephi, knew nothing concerning the matter, save it were given unto me by the power of God. And then shall ye know that I am an honest man, and that I am sent unto you from God." And it came to pass that they went and did, even according as Nephi had said unto them, and behold, the words which he said were true. For according to the words he did deny, and also according to the words he did confess. And he was brought to prove that he himself was the very murderer, insomuch that the five were set at liberty, and also was Nephi. And the section that comes next was what made me stop and reread and then go back a page or two and reread that to see if I had not read something that was there or misunderstood and construed something to be there in the words that wasn't there. Because when I got to the end of the next section and what transpired, I laughed because it was something that I could only think of as comical. Darkly comical, but comical. Picking up at 109. "And there were some of the Nephites who believed on the words of Nephi, and there were some also who believed because of the testimony of the five, for they had been converted while they were in prison. And now there were some among the people who said that Nephi was a prophet. And there were others who said, "Behold, he is a god. For except he was a god, he could not know of all things. For behold, he has told us the thoughts of our hearts, and also has told us things. And even he has brought unto our knowledge the true murderer of our chief judge." And it came to pass that there arose a division among the people, insomuch that they divided hither and thither, and went their ways, leaving Nephi alone as he was standing in the midst of them. And it came to pass that Nephi went his way towards his own house, pondering upon the things which the Lord had shown unto him. Without laboring too much at the point of the effects of divisions and contentions among people, there were some among the people who had said that Nephi was a prophet, and there were others who said, "Behold, he is a god." Whatever words or thoughts that people become invested in that create divisions between them, here we have a man extolled as a prophet or alternately a god by the people listening to him. And they had so much invested in whatever they thought of what he said that they seemed to become wrapped up in their assessment of his nature and his identity so much that they turned their backs on the prophet and the God and walk away and leave him standing there blinking at their backs, I guess. Can you have so much invested in the authority or your perception of the authority by which a thing is said that it causes you to turn your back on the message and the messenger? Nephi went home. And got his confirmation. Verse 114. And it came to pass, as he was thus pondering, being much cast down because of the wickedness of the people of the Nephites, their secret works of darkness, and their murderings and their plunderings, and all manner of iniquities. And it came to pass, as he was pondering, thus pondering in his heart, behold, a voice came unto him, saying, "Blessed art thou, Nephi, for those things which thou hast done. For I have beheld how thou hast with unwearyingness declared the word which I have given unto thee unto this people. And thou hast not feared them, and hast not sought thine own life, but have sought my will, and to keep my commandments. And now because thou hast done this with such unwearyingness, behold, I will bless thee forever. And I will make thee mighty in word and deed, in faith and in works. Yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Down to verse 125. And behold, now it came to pass that when the Lord had spoken these words unto Nephi, he did stop, and did not go unto his own house, but did return unto the multitudes who were scattered about upon the face of the land, and began to declare unto them the word of the Lord, which had been spoken unto him concerning their destruction, if they did not repent. Now behold, notwithstanding that great miracle which Nephi had done in telling them concerning the death of the chief judge, they did harden their hearts, and did not hearken unto the words of the Lord. Therefore Nephi did declare unto them the word of the Lord, saying, Except ye repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And it came to pass that when Nephi had declared unto them the word, behold, they did still harden their hearts, and would not hearken unto his words. Therefore they did revile against him, and did seek to lay their hands upon him, that they might cast him into prison. I have a note penciled in next to that verse that just says, Prophet or God. Period. The man that they had fully acknowledged as a prophet, speaking by the authority of God, they were ready to put back into prison before by the end of the chapter. I've heard of some of the contentions present in some of the doings of the church lately. And all it brought to mind was the necessity that if our principles, if my principles, are putting me at variance with the will of God, the truth, I don't need a new truth, I need new principles. And I don't know by what spirit people will be brought to lay aside the differences in understandings that people have about authority or the intents to which we do what we do. As I read that again, it's obvious to see the parallels with what we might see about what's going on in the world right now, in our nation, not the world. But we have a work to do in bringing to pass, serving as a witness of what authority can do in the life of the church, a church. And to the extent to which there's variance in our understanding, there will be strife in our activity. Whether it's meant as strife or it seems we're doing wrong things with the best of intentions. And until there's unity in our thoughts, there can't be unity in our actions. And not only will things not just keep going on the way they've been going on, but it will actively turn to our condemnation. And that's the testimony that we have of the Book of Mormon that tells the story of the peoples that tried to follow God on this face of this land, which is a special thing. And I only see that we can appeal directly in our own hearts, in the privacy of our own homes and our own minds, to the Holy Spirit that will lead us to the correct understanding that we can share with others, that we can begin to work together in unity of purpose. For I don't believe that it's anything except the power of God that will enable us to do that in the face of the powers or the power that is striving to tear down the work of God. And I should more properly say, tear down the souls of men, for he cannot defeat the purposes of God. But he will snatch away whom he will, who agrees to go. And I hope that I can learn more about how to do the job I've agreed to do, so that I can serve as a witness of what right authority can do in a person's life as they strive to be a member of the body of the church to the honor and glory of Christ. May God add his blessings to the reading of his word, and may his peace go with us as we set about to do his will and live our lives in a way that pleases him.
Thank you, Eric, for sharing that message with us tonight. And may it touch our hearts and our minds. We'll continue in our worship with our closing hymn 442, Zion's Victory Song. And as we sing this, we will stand and then we'll have our closing prayer for the evening. 442 in our hymnal. Thank you. Father who art in heaven, we come at this time and this particular time in this dispensation, when we must be prepared, O Father, for those things that are yet to come. But we also have to be prepared to be involved in sharing that glorious gospel to those of all the world and to our neighbors. We ask, O Lord, that Thou would endow us with the gift of love for one another, but for all mankind, and that we would see those, O Father, in our association as neighbors, and that we would be willing, O Father, by the power of your Spirit, to have that dimension, that gift, to be able, O Father, to share those things that are so precious that Thou hast given us, that each one, O Father, would recognize the power of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray, O Father, in our weakness, that we may become strong and that we may be not fearful, but to walk, O Father, in the pathway of your will. And so we pray tonight, O Father, even as the words that we've heard, that we would be enlightened, but also, Father, that we would be motivated to do those things, O Father, by seeking greater understanding from above, that our lives, O Father, would transmit the power into the lives of other people, that they may see the divinity of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask this blessing, Father, very humbly, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.